Hello, welcome to the latest Your Politics podcast from the RTE Politics team here at Leinster House. I'm Áine Lawler and I'm joined today by Paul Cunningham, Juliette Gash and Micheál Lehane. Will we start with the Fianna Fáil of it all, Micheál?
Yeah, and Fianna Fáil people who are unhappy with Micheál Martin are equally unhappy that their name made it onto some type of list, a list that had two sections in it. One was rebels, the other was something termed the Old Guard. The Old Guard had Patrick O'Gallagher, Willie O'Dea and Sean O'Farrell. They were classed in the intelligence gathering exercises as people who mightn't have been actively seeking leadership change but would welcome it. And in one of the responses at the parliamentary party meeting that Fianna Fáil had in this building last night, Sean O'Farrell said he's very aggrieved at that, half jokingly, given that he is the same age as Micheál Martin. He was born in April 1960, Micheál Martin in August 1960, and that both of them would be qualifying for what he termed the Charlie Haughey travel pass next year. And then you have the other group, like Peter Chapclear, Padraig O'Sullivan and James O'Connor from Cork and Erin McGreehan from Louth. And they were all quite upset, too, that this list could emerge.
Why were they upset? This intelligence sounds an awful lot like people who had rushed out into the newspapers to explain themselves and their view in relation to the leadership. So how could they be upset being called a rebel when they had been rebelling every day for weeks?
Exactly. I know Peter Chapclear's issue with rebel was the Cork association of it, given that he comes from Kilkenny. But yeah, apart from that, I mean, if there is genuine upset there, and if they're genuinely aggrieved that in the first real bit of this battle, that they see this as unjust, well, that is kind of shocking, given that if you are coming to take out a party leader who is a Taoiseach, it's going to be a fairly intense battle. On the other hand, were they trying to do something else? Were they trying to show that they know where this came from and they were trying to smoke out the source of it at the meeting, saying it comes from someone who's on the government side of the party, somewhere within government buildings or somewhere within the confines of the ministerial ranks, that that's the source of it? If they were trying to do that, it's slightly more strategic. I do think, though, if you look to the overall point, and
I'm trying to figure out what the strategy is here.
Well, it's one or the other. It's genuine grievance and being a bit petty. exactly. Or else it's trying to smoke out the source of it and to show that they're not backing down. But I suppose, I mean, if you do look, though, and you do look at the number of names there, and you think, well, if this does come to a confidence motion and getting 12 signatures, it doesn't really matter how people are behaving or how they're acting in parliamentary party meetings if they're willing to sign up to that sheet of paper if the time comes in the next few weeks.
And what did you make of Barry Cowan coming to the parliamentary party meeting? He was briefed, wasn't he, on the nitrates directive. More on that in a moment. But I suspect he might have been talking about other things too.
Yeah, I think when Big Barry was coming back, there was a sense of, was this going to be a dynamite moment? Was he going to walk in there with a Stetson and six shooters and take them out? The difficulty obviously being was that the villain of the piece, from the opponent's point of view, wasn't there. Micheál Martin, the party leader in Taoiseach, is in Brazil for the Conference of the Parties in relation to climate action. So he wasn't there. But it was just another example, I think, to a certain extent, that it's maybe not a groundswell of opinion, but there's a block of people within the party who aren't happy and they're not prepared to let this go. There was a atrocious presidential campaign. We know that there's a report due, and they're just signalling that they're still there, because at times we've seen over the previous years when there's been concerns about Micheál Martin's leadership that there's been sort of a wave and then it's ebbed away. And I think to a certain extent what's been this week is that they're maintaining pressure. Where that pressure leads to, we don't know. But I think, you know, in the next couple of weeks, this is either going to develop into something or once again, it's all just going to fade away.
The strategy of what they're calling mini detonations, and that you won't see a gang of four and you won't necessarily see a senior minister putting their head above the parapet either, that somehow this can be worked that way by a series of maintaining pressure, maintaining spats at the parliamentary party meeting, and then using the report when it comes out as potentially the final lever to go for it. It's very unusual. It's never been tried before. Even in world politics, it looks quite unusual, and there's a subtlety to it. And I do think that you can look at last night and say, well, it is strategic and they're maintaining pressure. But I do think some people were genuinely taken aback that they made it onto that list, and that particular reaction probably doesn't signal that this might get over the line, but it could be wrong. If this does go to a vote and you go across the party and you take soundings, if the vote was called tomorrow, there is no guarantee Micheál Martin could win it. But of course, if it's in a few weeks' time, that could be very different.
So what's the story with this review into Fianna Fáil's election performance, presidential election underperformance? And when's it? So the 12th, we were told it would be arriving. That's the day after the inauguration next week.
Yes. And Mary Butler seemed to indicate that was possible last night. But equally, anyone who's been in contact with the review say that there are some written submissions are gone in, but they'll probably have to be queried, and that could lead to a need for interviews with several people. And then there's the key piece of the jigsaw. Micheál Martin himself hasn't dealt with the commission, with the reviewer yet. So that's a fairly big piece of the equation.
Like a, that sounds like a long process, doesn't it? That process
doesn't sound like
could take
Wednesday.
Many weeks. Mm. Yeah. Many weeks. Difficult.
It could go back then to the timeline of kind of end of November that some people were talking about. But of course, if there isn't a report there, what you will see is another detonation at the parliamentary party meeting next Wednesday.
Is there a parliamentary party meeting next week?
Well, there will there will be a Dáil on Wednesday, so there will,
Okay. It's going to be a busy week because the inauguration, the Taoiseach's got a summit in Brussels next week, doesn't he?
But he's also got, he's heading to Angola and South Africa for the G20. Ireland has now sort of got this observer status, the G20, so he's travelling to South Africa and to Uganda. So, like, for him to be in that parliamentary party room, it's all pretty tight.
And if you look at the terms of reference, too, what it says in the terms of reference is that the report goes to the party leader. So that would be the step once it's completed. So it doesn't quite go to general publication into the hands of every TD immediately.
And if the blame doesn't fall on Micheál Martin for the Gavin candidacy, who cops the blame then? Is it Jack Chambers?
The blame has to fall on Micheál Martin to some extent. And if it's too future focused and talking about system errors and learning lessons for the future alone, that equally is going to create a degree of anger that's going to spark everything. It's just how much anger is there, and is there a level of coordination between not the people who spoke last night at the parliamentary party meeting, but the other 10 potential TDs who might sign that document? Are they working strategically together? They may be.
But even if they are, you know, was it 77 members of the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party? They are in government. We had an election 10 months ago, 11 months ago. Fianna Fáil came back as the biggest party. They have their party leader. He is the Taoiseach. In most debates, 2027 would be a time when he's going to depart. Are they really going to go in and say, no, we're going to chop him up now on the cusp of Ireland holding the presidency of the European Union? I still think that even if it was a push, and even if there was 12 prepared to sort of pull the trigger and have a leadership challenge, that I still think it's more likely than not, not without chance of not disagreeing with Micheál, but I think it's more likely than not that he's going to come through, even if he's injured, but he's going to continue through 2026 into 2027.
I suppose it's confined to the TDs, though, if it came to that vote. And if anything were to go wrong on what they call the payroll side of the party, those who are in ministerial office, well, that's where the difficulty would be, wouldn't it?
But is that likely? I just don't see enough action, to my mind, to give me the sense that this is brewing. Now, as you said, maybe it's a particularly well-coordinated thing and nothing's coming out. This is hermetically sealed, but usually not.
But even within ministers talking to ministers, apparently, there isn't discussion taking place at that level. There isn't, which is unusual. There's people who say they attended the weddings of other colleagues who are now ministers and who would see themselves as close friends. And even at that level, there's no discussion taking place at the ministerial ranks. So what you have is a movement that's being led by TDs and strategically and probably on purpose. There isn't a discussion taking place among ministers.
Do you remember that phrase when we were chatting earlier, when Pat Rabbit coined, of people who pirouetted on the plinth, coming out and trotting out their opinions and pirouetting around for the media? Is there a bit of pirouetting in the parliamentary party rooms going on?
Well, maybe. But I think there's something there and everything hinges on the report. And the report may well be not a whitewash, but something that is just trying to learn lessons. And that will cause a degree of anger.
So which comes first, this Fianna Fáil election review or the housing plan? The housing plan is coming when? Is it next week?
Could be next week, could be the week after, could be the week after that.
So it was likely next week, said Minister Brown, but definitely within a fortnight. But Jack Chambers, the Public Expenditure Minister, used the term the next few weeks. So that's more than 2 weeks. So that could be 3 weeks maybe. But I think if it doesn't come out in November, there would be a huge problem. But even when it does come out, Minister Brown has indicated that he's not really a man for those plans. He doesn't put as much emphasis on that. He's more of a person who's strategically trying to, mm-hmm. every couple of weeks, bring out something small, mm-hmm. but which is going to deliver. So it's likely to be a one-day wonder. Opposition parties really want to see it because they say this is going to have the facts and figures. There have to be objectives based on it, and that's something they want to see, and it should have been out months ago.
It does seem like a budget, though, isn't it, that it's largely all there already, and this will be just the piece that stitches it all together.
Precisely.
But while Fianna Fáil and people in Fianna Fáil were all very caught up in the issues you've just been talking about, the other thing that happened this week, we had that Future 40 study. Mm. So that told us housing's not going to be fixed, isn't it, until the 2030s before we start to
kind of... at least 15 years before we sort that out. Part of this Future 40 report... It had lots of different scenarios. So it looks at if you do this, then that'll happen. If you don't do this, then that'll happen. And there's a huge number of scenarios. But it also assumes that certain targets will be met, such as the 300,000 homes promised by the government by 2030. That's looking less likely every year.
Given the under-delivery this year, under-delivery last year, under-delivery in 2027.
So we're again looking at 30,000 this year. So it looks like it's unlikely that it's going to get there. So the problem will persist for 15 years, possibly 20 years. That report made for very depressing reading. It was essentially saying that, look, the population is ageing. At the moment, we have 116 workers for every 100 non-workers. In 2065, in 40 years, it's going to be 98 workers per 100. And that's a problem. However, the way of getting around this is to continue inward migration. And that's, of course, the other theme of the week and the month. We will need migrants in order to take care of our ageing population. And I think it was, I think it was Kian O'Callaghan who was saying, unless we have a miraculous baby boom, that's a given. We will need people to be coming into Ireland to mind us and to provide public services.
So the Taoiseach's remarks on immigration and on his view that immigration into Ireland is too high, and the criticism that he was getting in particular, as you say, from the Social Democrats on that. He's standing by his words?
Yeah, he is. So obviously those words came out after the election. He has been accused by Paul Murphy in the Dáil of dog whistle tactics, of sort of, detracting from perhaps the perceived failure, well, the actual failure of the Fine Gael candidate, but the perceived failure of their election strategy by saying, well, actually, there's another problem you all need to be concerned about. And of course, coming in a similar time frame to this awful attack in Drogheda on an IPAS centre, where a number of children were hospitalised because the building was set fire to. He's been accused of dog whistle tactics, of Nigel Farage-esque behaviour. Now, today, he again defended himself in leaders' questions. He said that he felt that was a dog whistle to be accusing him of Nigel Farage. Like tactics, and he was saying that what is needed is a mature debate on it. And he also said that he was going to do two things, that he would propose new legislation on international protection, and that there would be a national migration strategy in 2026. So they're clearly looking at ways of tightening up migration. And again, the point being made by Kian O'Callaghan today was, well, where are you going to cut migration from? Do you want to cut it from the multinationals? Do you want to cut it from the healthcare sector? Do you want to cut it from tech companies and pharmaceutical companies? Because we have a huge amount of migrants. It's around 94,000, 95,000. That was the highest number last year in 17 years of inward migrants. But the vast proportion of those are coming in on work permits. They're coming in because they're required to come in and they have been granted permission to come in. So the international protection numbers are in and around 18,000 last year. It looks like it's going to fall to 12,000 this year. So yes, we do have increasing migration, but we don't have increasing asylum seeking. So that's the difficulty, is that words matter and statistics matter. And when those comments are made about we have migration that's too high, what exactly did the Taoiseach mean by that? Again, he will say he was just calling for a mature, calm and reasoned debate. But the opposition, Labour and Soc Dems and People Before Profit say that's not the case.
And Jim O'Callaghan too, kind of echoing those views yesterday in statements and talking about the fact that in the first instance, 75% of international protection applications are refused. And he's saying left-wing parties don't want to say that. And he said, I'm not making you say it, but it is a fact. And that's where the government are zoning in on. Mm. And as well as that decision of sorts taken at a cabinet subcommittee meeting on Monday night around seeking a financial contribution for those who are staying in state accommodation and who are working. Again, that doesn't look straightforward at all, but you can see the political signal is that it is going to happen. It's probably going to take a very long time. The Taoiseach talking about the end of next summer before it is in place. But the fairly detailed briefing document that went to ministers spoke about the need for a fairly robust legal framework to be put in place around this, and that it can't be realistically just confined to the people who are current applicants, that there are those who live in those accommodation centres who have refugee status, that they would have to be included as well, or else there would be inequalities. And on top of that, you have issues like if people start paying a financial contribution, well, then they have something akin to tenancy rights. So what happens there? So while you do have political momentum, political signalling, when it actually comes to making this a reality, I think that's going to be way more problematic.
There seemed to be a gap between the briefing that was happening last weekend in relation to the measure you discussed and what the outcome of that meeting was. It seemed to be clear cut over the weekend, and by the time they'd kicked it around in the committee, it was far more complicated and the timeline had been elongated. And it's actually something to watch out for, because when you've got an idea as opposed to a proposal going to cabinet usually gets through. When it comes to those cabinet committees, anything could happen. So definitely don't base your view on what you hear before the meeting. Base it on what you hear afterwards.
And the cost of it as well. The cost of administrating this would be very, very high for quite little return. So do you want to invest $750,000 on a payment system that people may not comply with?
Yeah, I mean, that was in the briefing paper as well, wasn't it? That people who have not had to pay up to now suddenly will have to pay, and that proves a major challenge.
And is all of this in reaction to those spoiled votes in the presidential election? Was that a message being sent from the public that Fine Gael, at least, appeared to be, and Fianna Fáil to some extent, appeared to be listening to?
I don't think it's an immediate no, but there's been a continuum. So we've had a series of these measures being announced, not just in relation to the question of asylum, but on broader migration policy. The language has changed, and that goes back more than a year. It goes a year and a bit. It was probably November of 2023 where we began to see that tilt, and it's going to continue.
And you can see the lines being drawn, the government saying that you need to have debate. You saw that a few weeks back, even before the presidential election, Micheál Martin saying that what Michael Fitzmaurice was raising on a particular day was worthy of debate. The Social Democrats saying that what Michael Fitzmaurice had done in the chamber on that occasion, conflating a number of things together, was completely over the line. But that's where it's at now. Government saying it's about debate and the need for debate. And if you don't do that, you're going to drive a different form of extremism.
I mean, so one last point, it was also notable that when it came to these contributions, sort of at leaders' questions, not in relation to the statements, but that Sinn Féin was very firmly sticking on the issue of cost of living, that it wasn't, and Sinn Féin is the largest opposition party, gets a chance to go first, it wasn't taking the lead on the issue of migration.
No, and Holly Kearns even putting Sinn Féin together with the government parties on this, she says their position is similar.
And that's the interesting thing in terms of this discussion around a united left, you know, following the success of the Connolly campaign. Mary Lou talking about Sinn Féin certainly running their own candidate in the Galway West by-election whenever it comes around, but talking about a potential transfer pact. Paul Murphy's been talking about a pact that would be based on, you know, certain common principles between all the left parties. But immigration and the environment appear to be two issues where Sinn Féin's position is not consistent with the other left parties in the Dáil, and I'm wondering how that's going to be squared.
But I think that's why, if you're looking at sort of collaboration between the parties and the left, they all have their distinct identities. In a general election or by-election, they're going to have to fight their own corners, and maybe the limit to the ambition of this collaboration is vote left, transfer left, but that's probably about as far as it goes.
Okay, so we'll have to see how all of that plays out. As I say, I don't think we'll be having the Galway West by-election before Christmas. We'll probably be well into the spring before it happens.
Oh, we'll be well into the spring. What was interesting, though, was when the Dáil resumed and the Ceann Comhairle spoke and everyone congratulated Catherine Connolly, she said from the Saturday night of the result that it was at that point the seat became vacant. I think government were looking at it at the point of the inauguration, which could push it into late May, early June, so it might be slightly earlier.
And one thing, of course, that did bring the Dáil together this week, as part from congratulating President-elect Connolly, was the return of Richard Boyd-Barrett.
Yeah, Richard Rydberg warmly returned and made a forceful contribution at Leaders' Questions as well. But rarely do you get someone who has such strong, principled and fairly firm views that would be not shared perhaps by a majority in the chamber, but who is so well regarded across the board. You can see that.
Yeah, also, we also liked. Yeah, it wasn't liked, just the policy yeah. thing. Yeah. He's a guy who is liked, who can, he's a funny guy. He's someone who does talk to lots of people. He isn't just restricted to the left group that he comes from. And I think there was what you saw was genuine. I think people are just really happy for him. And obviously he said himself that he's just coming back. So maybe you're not going to see the force with which he will usually speak, but he has to be careful. But it was notable that, as Micheál said, the contribution that he did make, what was it about? It was about cancer care.
Yeah. Yes, and it was about the radiation machines that saved his life when he was being treated in St. Luke's, and those radiation machines ageing all over the country and needing a plan for replacement.
They needed an audit on replacing them. But I spoke to one first-time young TD about Richard Boyd Barrett. And, you know, as you said, there was this universal welcome for him coming back. And this person said that, you know, he'd be very different politically from Richard Boyd Barrett, but that he was very warm to him and greeted him. And he said, which not everyone did. Yes. So there was that lovely sort of praise for him and welcome back. And, you know, with all the sniping that does go on in the Dáil, it is nice when you see that. You know, I loved Ivana Bacik's comments too about, I'm not, you know, the pain in my ear is going to be coming back because she sits to his right and he has a booming voice, or maybe slightly dimmed at the moment, but hopefully coming
certainly
back.
Certainly one
as
of the more singular voices we've heard. And Catherine Connolly packing up her bags.
Yes, just this afternoon, we're recording this on Thursday, and at around 3 o'clock, 3:30, I saw Catherine Connolly standing on the plinth. She had a big smile on her face, and I've got a funny feeling there may have been a cardboard box beside her, because she is making that transition from being the Galway West TD to becoming President of Ireland.
President of Ireland, indeed. I was at actually one of the rehearsals this morning for the inauguration next Tuesday morning. The seagulls getting very upset about the Garda drones up there, but it looks...
So they set off the 21-gun salute?
No, not that one.
Say they have the permission for the drone, unlike Jim Gavin.
Well, not from the seagulls anyway. So with that, we leave you and we'll talk to you again next week. Cheers. Bye-bye.